Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have another incredible festival to bring you. The festival season this year, especially in New York, has been just off the hook. It's been crazy. And this new festival we've been put on to, I shouldn't say it's a new festival, it's new to us, is just absolutely amazing. It's definitely one you'll want to check out and support. We, of course, are talking about the New Perspectives Theater Company's presentation of the 2024 Short Play Festival. And today we are speaking with Program B, Hotspot, which is playing August 5th through the 10th at New Perspectives Studio. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting new-perspectives-theater-company.ticketleap.com. Joining us today, we have several of the playwrights and directors that are part of this program. We've got the playwright Annelle Carmona and the director Danny Ortiz from Between Iron Doors. We have the playwright Taylor Steele and the director
Malini Singh McDonald,
who are from Bumble. And we have the playwright Morgan Barnes Whitehead and the director Bianca Lopez from Best Seats in the House. These are three wonderful works that we cannot wait to learn more about. So let's jump right in and welcome on our guests. Everyone, welcome, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
I'm so excited you're all here. I can't wait to learn more about these fabulous works. So what I want to do is I'd like to start with our playwrights and have you all tell us a little bit about your show. So Annelle, can we start with you and Between Iron Doors?
Sure. So Between Iron Doors is it's a play about three coworkers that are stuck in the bathroom or their workplace without a logical explanation. As they find out what's going on, they're going to realize all the things that were previously happening that took them to the place where they are now, and they're going to see their fate.
That is very cool. That sounds very awesome. Yeah. Taylor Steele from the show Bumble, can you tell us a little bit about what your show's about?
Sure. So, might be able to tell from the title, but it's about Bumble, the dating app. It's about two people who have been spending a few days talking to each other on the app and them kind of figuring out what their relationship to each other is and kind of unpacking toxic masculinity and what it means to kind of try to take a chance on yourself and on someone else at the same time.
That is a fantastic premise. Oh, I love it. And finally, Morgan Barnes Whitehead, tell us about Best Seats in the House.
Yeah, Best Seats in the House. It's a climate disaster play. It's a play about the beginning of the end of the end of the world. It's about folks sitting at a restaurant waiting to see a rocket launch to zap the hole in the ozone layer closed. So it's about class, it's about climate, it's about race, but it's also obviously about relationships, humans, people. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, what a story. So listeners, as you can hear, there are three very different, very fantastic shows that we've got on the lineup for Program B. And I want to dive more into these now, and I want to bring on our directors this time. So I'm going to start with Danny Ortiz from Between Iron Doors. Tell me, what has it been like developing the piece?
It's been a real pleasure. For context, like, we gave all these playwrights a theme like back in January, and the theme is Hotspot, and they had 3 weeks to develop their first drafts, and they produced their first drafts, and then we worked with them up until May on several other drafts to then have a rehearsal and like rehearsals in July to hold this festival in August. So it's been so amazing to see Annelle's play go from the first draft to the draft that we went into rehearsals and like the small tweaks that we've made, and having really wonderful actors bring these characters to life. And I really can't wait to show everyone what we've developed.
So exciting.
Malini,
tell us about the development of Bumble.
I have to just say that I like Danny and like Bianca and the other playwrights, I'm sorry, directors in the program, just watching the development of these pieces over the last 5 months off of Hotspot, it has been a real thrill. And it's also been a director/dramaturg's dream. And for me, specifically with Bumble, I was already automatically drawn to it because it, you know, this particular play that Taylor has created for us is about, you know, dating on the apps. And as someone who's been in a very long-term relationship for a very long time before apps, and learning about the dating world in this aspect has been fascinating. And doing the research through the actors, through conversations with Taylor, with the production team, has really been able to inform a part of my life that I will not know. You know, I pray I never know. As I said, I'm in a long-term relationship, a lot of years. So this was fascinating to just understand not just the dark side of it, but just the intricacies within it, which is something like was new information to me. Something came out of rehearsal last night where I was just like, what? Oh, that's a thing? Right. Okay. So, you know, just unearthing this new information that I will not ever know about personally has been fascinating and informative.
That is amazing. I love it. By the way, Bianca Lopez, you are the director of the piece Best Seats in the House. So what has it been like developing this piece and getting it ready for the festival?
Well, I'm very thankful to Morgan. She's a great playwright. So it's been quite a pleasure helping with the development of the play. I appreciate the themes that she's been tackling in the play itself, which she mentioned earlier. Global warming, that's very important. Social class construction, empathy, humility, and experience amongst a group of 5 actors that are playing the role of 5 characters that have to navigate this world where for most it's very familiar and for some not so much. I'm excited that I get to work from the process of developing a play with the actors themselves because I find they're very talented and very fun. They're pleasurable. They're really committed. The whole cast and crew is extremely committed. So I just appreciate the effort that everyone puts into bringing this beautiful piece of work to life. And we want to honor Morgan, our playwright, and her amazing structure, her composition, and how she's really put so much thought and energy and effort into this play. And I appreciate it. So my favorite part of the process has just been working together to create this world that's extremely dynamic and eccentric for the most part.
That is a fabulous answer. I love that. Now, I want to turn to audiences' reactions, if you will, to these pieces. And I'm going to stick with our directors. Melini, I want to start first with you and your show that you're directing, Bumble. Is there a particular message or thought that you hope audiences take away from the piece?
That's a fantastic question. I think it's as you're exploring a relationship, and it's not in person yet, that you really need to take everything at face value until you're able to be in the same space for some time to really get to know somebody, because you're really dealing with non-reality when you're on the apps. It's whose truth, you know, even though there is a truth and there's an intention and there's a desire to search out other people, but what are people's true motivation? Because the motivation is not necessarily to find true love, right? My one true love, you know, it's not necessarily that. There is, you know, other reasons why people go on apps. You know, and it's a variety of reasons. And what Taylor has created with Bumble is really a cautionary tale, as well as, and I hate the word empowerment, as it relates to women because we're already empowered. But since I can't find the right vocabulary for it, it is, you know, finding your truth, knowing your own strength and your own power, and being able to trust your gut, you know, that buzzing, you know, that whisper you hear, like you hear them, we all do, every single one of us, listen, and then to trust it. Because in my own personal experience in this journey of life, whenever I have swayed away from my instinct, my intuition, it is usually when things start beginning to crumble. So, you know, and Taylor packed this in like 22 pages. We timed this piece, it's less than 22 minutes. I'm like, but it's a whole, you know, whole cautionary tale on that. So that's my big takeaway. I hope when people leave the theater and continue having conversations around this. Yeah.
That is so wonderful. I love that idea. Bianca, I want to come back to you and ask you, what message or thought do you hope audiences are taking away from Best Seats in the House?
What I hope for the audience to take away for Best Seats in the House is I would hope that they can take away that not everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray in life. It's important for me for the audience to realize that life is extremely multidimensional and multi-layered. And ultimately, the road to great intentions is paved in hell.
Ooh, I like that. Very thoughtful. Danny Ortiz, tell us, what is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from Between Iron Doors?
I hope audience can walk away with like thinking about, especially like working conditions and other countries, and even in the United States, that some workers are not given all the same rights as all employees, and that discrepancy is just something that we should take a look at and find opportunities to resolve that, so everyone has the same working conditions. And also it points a light at, again, like to like hardworking women and how women are treated. And how are they able to progress in the fields that they work in, whether it's from a retail worker or being a CEO of a company? It's important that everyone's treated equitably and with respect. And also motherhood, and like how women have always been mothers and taken a lot of the burden of caretaking for family members, and all of those things to reflect on. And, you know, how can we be better people and humans or partners to the people that we interact in work or family or friends?
Also a wonderful thought. Three fantastic ideas from these brilliant directors. This is very exciting. Now, to wrap up this first part, I want to return to our playwrights who have written these fantastic shows, these really diverse shows. And Morgan Barnes-Whitehead, with your show Best Seats in the House, I would love to know, who exactly are you hoping to have access to your work?
That's a great question. I feel like this is a greater theme in terms of theater in general, of like, how and when can we reach out to folks who maybe don't historically always have access to theater? But then, of course, quite literally, like, who is this for and what audience am I trying to reach? But I think, like, in terms of that second part of the question, who is this for, who am I trying to reach? I think that we are all in this time of like uncertainty and stress and worry, especially as it relates to like climate and economy. I think that it's good to be worried and it's good to be stressed, and that progress and like change comes out of worry and stress, but that it cannot just be worry and stress. So I think that by creating a opportunity to talk about climate, to talk about the economy, and then of course all of the social issues that intersect with those things, but using sort of a comedic and a satirical light to shine on them, I'm hoping that, you know, I can dislodge some of this discomfort about starting the conversation. And in that, I hope that it's for everybody. I think there's a character or a situation in this play that will resonate with almost anybody. And if it doesn't resonate, I think that will be clear why it's not resonating in a way that then resonates, hopefully.
That's a brilliant answer. I love it. Annelle, I want to come to you and your show, Between Iron Doors. Who are you hoping to have access to this?
I think this show is for everyone. I mean, obviously for everyone, because otherwise, why would you be writing a play, right? But in terms of target audience, I think it's for all of us who have decent middle-class jobs and who have probably taken for granted how far we've gone in terms of workers' rights and how important they are. I think that we have forgotten that we are here, all of us who have work that feel safe at, that we are here because of other people who have fought for them, and that there are still people who don't have place to work in good conditions. And I would like for everybody to remember that we still have a way to go and that we have come so far. And also to honor all those people who have gotten us to the place where we are now.
Absolutely. 1,000%. Say it again for the people in the back. Out on this first part, I'm so excited to hear from our playwright Taylor Steele and your show Bumble. Who do you hope have access to that?
I mean, similarly to the other playwrights, first and foremost, everyone. I think that it's a show about relationships and how do you know when you know someone. And I think anyone can relate to that. I specifically wrote these characters as Black, though. And I think, to borrow a word we don't like, to empower Black women specifically when it comes to saying no to things and people that do not have their best interest at heart, I think it can be easy, particularly for marginalized people, to say yes to the things that hurt them because we don't want to inflict further harm on someone else. And it's also so important to take care of ourselves and to make sure that we're in a safe place and safe relationships. And I think part of the story is also how scary it can be to say no, how scary it can be to realize that the person you're talking to isn't the person you think or thought that they were. And there's a little bit of like a magical realism bent to this show that kind of allows this character to overcome that fear. But I think it's important to note that is just a real thing in relationships and that there's a power dynamic at play. And so I'm hoping that people kind of take away that understanding of like, who has power in these relationships? Is it me? Am I perpetuating harm? Am I being harmed? So yeah, I hope to reach marginalized people who are embarking on different kinds of relationships.
Second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brains, if you will. And I want to jump straight to my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Yes, Morgan, please.
Almost all of my favorite theater memories shockingly revolve around Shakespeare, but most specifically, my aunt is an actress, and my first exposure to Shakespeare was through her, and my first exposure to theater was really through her, and I owe a lot of my like passion and excitement for theater to her, so shout out to her if she listens to this. But specifically, she did a production of Much Ado About Nothing up in Connecticut that was set during the Vietnam War. And my brain came alive watching that. I said to myself, oh my gosh, you don't just have to do Shakespeare like exactly as it's written on the page. And that was the thread that I pulled throughout my childhood that got me to the point where I was like, and I can do whatever I want. I can make up whatever I want. A play is whatever you want a play to be. So watching people play within the classics like that really unlocked like my imagination towards theater. And having that specific moment of like, oh my gosh, my aunt is a rock star and all these people are the coolest people ever, really turned me into a theater kid and really solidified my relationship to text and to Shakespeare. So I'm really grateful for that memory. And I will always remember being like 7 years old, sitting in the zoo, in the Connecticut Zoo, being like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. Yeah.
I love that. That's such a great memory. Shout out to your aunt. That's fantastic. Melini, yes. What is your favorite theater memory?
I love that story, Morgan. That's fantastic. You know, I have so many of these experiences, and it's always a visceral experience if I go see a show, if I'm creating a show. So to pick one is hard, but I will say that when I had the opportunity to direct The Wiz in Liberia, West Africa, a few years ago, these young people had never done theater. Right? They were part of the Matsiko World Orphan Choir. They performed, you know, outside of the country in order to gain sponsorship so they are able to go to school. Because, you know, one of the things we take for granted in this country is that there is an accessibility to education. In other countries, there is a lack of infrastructure for that. So here we are, we're doing The Wiz. And for me, it was, one, having to explain The Wizard of Oz first, right? And explaining that piece of Americana, and then explaining why The Wiz exists, and giving a little bit of history in like four or five minutes to this group of young people who don't know this, right? Unless you're in this country and there's civil rights and, you know, the daily struggles that all of us deal with on a daily basis. But I remember when we finally went up and we had a lot of rehearsals, like 10 days of rehearsals for one show. And if you know The Wiz, that is not an easy show. I love the show. But watching all of their eyes light up and watching them being bitten by the theater bug, it was the 40 young people on that stage, in that church, as well as the 10 young people who were running crew, who were doing lights, who would do all of that. They were just so excited about it. And, you know, I will speak for myself, and I feel like I probably could speak for the others too. Every so often you have a moment where you're just like, why do I do this? Why am I in this industry? Why the blood, sweat, and tears and you know, the struggle of it all? And why am I still doing this all these years later? And it's in those moments where I go, boom, it's the magic of theater. It's the magic of theater that changes lives. Who knows what's next in their story, you know? So The Wiz, and I did just see it on Broadway, and I felt like I was, you know, 6 years old all over again watching it, you know, watching it on screen with Diana Ross. So anyway, thank you for letting me share that.
That is an amazing memory. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Thank you for that. Yes, Bianca, yes, please.
Hi there, I'm Bianca. A theater memory of mine that is one of my favorites, because it's hard to say ultimately my favorite, is in 2005, I was accepted with a scholarship to Loyola University in New Orleans for theater. And Loyola University in New Orleans is called the Juilliard of the South. So I was very proud of that, to be able to go to that school. But unfortunately, 3 days into my dormitory experience, it was called Hurricane Katrina. And I was unfortunately, but fortunately, a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. And that was a very tremendously difficult time for me. So I was one of the few displaced students in the country, and I had to go back home. I only had 2 days to apply to many colleges around the country.
in order to continue my education, because some of you were very young when that was happening, but it was a very devastating time. And I reapplied to many colleges, and one of the colleges that accepted me was Columbia University. I had an interest in New York City because I went the year before for the first time. So I said to myself, I think Columbia University sounds like a good choice for me. And Columbia University has a theater program through Barnard. So Columbia students, they for undergrad, they take their classes through the Barnard College, which is a wonderful liberal arts college for same-gendered women, all women or women identifying people. And that day that I landed, after going through the devastation of the hurricane and not being able to fully recover from the trauma of that, I had already missed orientation at Columbia University, but I never had an orientation as a freshman in college. And that was, I'm sorry if I tear up or anything, but it's very traumatic when you're 18 years old and you leave your parents' home at that age and you don't have a lot of life experience living on your own, and then you don't have an orientation or guidance or a proper place to live, because I was displaced. So I was living on the floor of a friend's dorm room in the meantime. So through my theater program at Columbia, they asked us through Barnard to do auditions. And the minute I landed from the airplane, after, as I said before, the exhaustion I was going through with just 2 days to apply to a university in the country, I was informed the minute I got in that if I was interested in taking any theater classes that day, I would have to audition. That was rough for me, because, you know, you have to prepare material, you have to memorize monologues, etc. I was like, what? So I showed up to the Barnard stage and I just told everyone the truth. I apologize, my monologue is going to be rusty. I am just flying in from Orleans, and I went through something called the Hurricane Katrina, and they were all like, what? So that day I performed my monologue, and it was remarkable for me, because the average student at freshman year just gets into maybe one class of theater, whatever. A lot of the theater teachers wanted me. They were like, I want her in my class. So it was a beautiful story at the end, because I got to take a lot of wonderful theater classes at that time, and it was just thankful for me. But specifically, I really had wanted to complete my education and start my education at Loyola, because it's a theater conservatory, it's the Juilliard of the South, you know. So that was hard, but at least I got into a lot of theater classes at Columbia to be able to start off my education in a conservatory style atmosphere. And since then, it just showed me the tenacity that I had at such a young age, because I've been doing professional theater from the time I was about 3. So the fact that I'm like, okay, little 18-year-old Bianca, if you're okay with going through all this and you still want to audition, are you sure? And at this age that I'm currently am, theater has been very much, as you can imagine, a challenge, but it's truly a passion for me. And it's a passion that'll never leave me. And I'm very honored to take in this passion. And there's a lot of challenges, but nothing can beat going through devastation and watching people suffer and die around you. And yet, what heals my soul and what keeps me moving forward is the love I have for theater.
Wow, what a memory. Wow, all of that you overcame. Congratulations. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, and now, please.
Okay, I'm finally ready. And I think I'm going to go with a college memory. I was in college in Universidad de Guadalajara back in Mexico. We were a very smart cohort. I think it was like about 18 of us. And the way the program worked is that we would work on a show, mostly for training purposes, not for production purposes, throughout a semester and a half. And then at the end, we had the option of have a bit of a repertoire season in which everybody, every cohort had their show according to their level. And we didn't have a huge budget, but there was a theater, and there were always ways to make like these shows possible. But then when we finished, we were doing, I think it was our second year, at the end of our second year, we were doing The Importance of Being Earnest. And the play was the artistic work of it, it was a bit of a mess. So they gave us the option of either having the production, to put it that way, or to just not do it. And I feel like
I had so many, some of my peers did not want to do it because they thought it was not at a good level. But I'm thinking like, come on, we're students and we still have the summer. We could rehearse in the summer to make this good. But I think, I don't know, like there was, most of them did not want to do it. I don't know if they felt too good for this production or if they didn't want to work over the summer. So at the end we didn't, but some of us really, really wanted to do it, which to me was the reason why I'm going to theater school. I'm going to theater school because I want to do theater, not to just leave it in the classroom. So I think it was like five or six of us that really wanted to do it. And so the teacher comes back and he's like, so what did you decide? Do you want a season or not? And most of the group is like, no, we decided not to have it. And I'm like, wait, there's six of us. We can do this. We didn't even have a full cast. I forget. I think it's eight characters in The Importance of Being Earnest. But I'm like, look, we can ask the third years. We can ask the first years. We can cover those characters. We can find some rehearsal space, rehearse in our houses during the summer. And we're going to find a way to make this work. And I feel like I started rallying the five or six people who wanted to do that. I spoke to people in other years and the show ended up happening. And I think that was a great preparation for what was to come, because I feel like when you're doing a lot of indie theater or theater in general, there's never a lot of resources. There's always every reason why not doing it. And yet theater always happens because some people really, really want to do that. And they're very committed to do it. And I think that was the first time I had that experience.
That is amazing. That's a great story. Way to go. Thank you for that. Yes, please, Taylor.
So a little like back history. I was a slam poet from the age like 18 to 26 or so. And I was also, I'm sure like many people in the Zoom, obsessed with Medusa. so normal. And I had written a poem about Medusa that kind of lent itself to being a short play. And I had never written a play before, but I was like, this kind of feels dialogue-y. This kind of feels like two people talking. I wonder what I could do with this. And one of my friends had sent me a link to a festival that was happening in New York that was looking for short plays. And I was like, I guess I could submit this. It's not going to get chosen. Like I've never written a play. I've never produced a play. I don't know anything about this, but I submitted. And I think the turnaround was so quick. It was like a week later. I was sitting in a restaurant with that same friend and we both got emails saying that our pieces had been chosen. And I freaked out. I felt so unprepared. I was like, I don't even know actors. Like I'm a poet, like who, I don't know anything. And people just kind of rallied around me and were like, look, we know people, here's who you should reach out to. And I ended up casting two incredible Black women to play Medusa and Medusa's best friend. And our rehearsals were in my bedroom, in my apartment in Bed-Stuy at the time. And I didn't even understand that I was directing it, but I was directing it. There was no one else to kind of fill that role. And so the first piece of theater I've ever done was like, I wrote it, I directed it, I produced it for this short play festival. And sitting in the audience for the first time, watching people say the words that I wrote was so magical. I had never experienced anything like it. Like I said, slam poetry, like I was always the one performing my own words. And so watching other people inhabit these characters that I had created that were just living on the page was just like, this is a thing that I could do. I could write words for other people to say and they'll say them on a stage. And I think that was kind of the moment I was like, oh, this is for me. This is what I'm going to do with my life now. So yeah, I got bit by the theater bug early in life, but I didn't realize that I could make it myself. And that was kind of the moment in 2016 where I was like, oh, I can be the person who does this.
It's such a fantastic memory. Yes, I love it. Danny, bring us home. What's your favorite theater memory?
My favorite theater memory, definitely, I would have to say high school, because that's really where I think it all led to where I am today. Just like, I think that's where everything kind of started. And I had picked drama as an elective in my high school. I went to a high school in Queens and they had a little theater, like literally a little room dedicated just for theater. And that I thought was amazing in itself, that we had this little private room that I could be in for 45 minutes instead of like learning a subject, but like I could do theater and collaborate with fellow students and just have fun, you know, in the middle of the school day. And then before I knew it, someone from a community-based organization came in to start doing after-school programs. And I remember joining that, and that definitely opened even more doors, because we went on trips, you know, we saw a young Frankenstein. I remember this piece, New Victory, Once and For All, We're Going to Tell You Who We Are, So Shut Up. And I think it was like a German traveling group, or it was like young kids. And that play I don't think it had a single word spoken. It was just very visceral. There was like giant balls and small balls. And then like, I remember like a small like race car and then like a giant ATV. I couldn't even tell you everything that happened. It was just so visceral. It made me so curious. And I was like left in wonder. I was like, what did I just experience? Because I didn't know theater could even evoke such responses. Like I sometimes I think of theater in the traditional sense. So it definitely opened my mind to like the possibilities that theater can have on its audience and people. And just from that moment, I just started falling in love with seeing shows and again, just making shows at whatever capacity. I've served as an actor. I was a playwright for a hot second. I did lights one time. You know, I don't care what role in theater I am in, but I just love being a part of the process and just making something out of nothing.
That is such a fantastic memory. We love a good origin story. Thank you for that. Thank you all so much for those fabulous memories. As we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about your shows or about you. Perhaps they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so? So Anel and Danny, if our listeners would like more information about Between Iron Doors or about you, how can they get that?
They can follow me on Instagram at I am Anel Carmona. I'm guessing the spelling of my name will be somewhere written in the podcast, the description of the podcast. So I am, and then my name, that's where they can follow me on Instagram. They can message me if they have any questions about it. And our shows are every day, August 5th through the 10th, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are up at 8 p.m. Thursday and Tuesday, we are up at 4 p.m. and Saturday at 2 p.m. New Perspectives Theater.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to just chat or reach out or have any questions, you can email me directly at Danny, which is DANINPTC@gmail.com. If you're curious or if you want to collaborate, I'm always down to make theater.
Wonderful. Taylor and Malini, what about if our listeners want more information about Bumble?
Similarly to Anel, my Instagram is I am Taylor Steele. Steele has three E's in it, not just two. So yeah, reach out to me there. Similarly, I love to collaborate. So hit me up there.
And you can reach me. I'm on Instagram. It's Malini_SM. And there's information about Program B and Hotspot, as well as Program A. Our shows are going up at various times, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of that first week in August. We go up at 8 p.m. And then on Tuesday, Thursday, we're up at 4 p.m. And then Saturday, we're up at 2. So you can visit the New Perspectives Theater Company website for more information on that.
Perfect. And finally, Morgan Barnes-Whitehead and Bianca Lopez with Best Seats in the House. How can our listeners get more information on this?
First of all, hit up the New Perspectives Theater's social media. The social media team over there is fantastic, and all of the information is up. If you want to hit me up on social media, I only have an Instagram. Similar to Malini's Instagram, mine is Morgan_RBW on Instagram. And then, yeah, we're in Program B, so all of the exact same dates and times as Annell and Taylor's shows. Please come and see it. We would love to have you. And Bianca, if you want to add how people can reach out to you.
Thank you. Just to add some perspectives for your followers, Andrew, the Morgan George Women's Work is divided into Program A and B. The Women's Work Lab has produced over 80 playwrights' works. We're very proud of that. Since, I believe, 1994, we'll be in our 30th year. The theater company, I think, has been around since for about 35 years now. The Program B, in which all my lovely co-hosts here today are a part of, we are divided into three segments. So it will be three shows, approximately maybe under 30 minutes apiece. My show is last in the series of Program B. So if you go onto the website, if anyone's interested in coming out to support the work, it'd be wonderful to have you. And we, of today's guests, are in Program B. You'll see the dates there between August 5th and 10th. As for myself, I'm Bianca. If anyone's interested in reaching out or collaborating, you can find me on Instagram. My name is Bianca Lopez. That's with a Z, as in Jennifer Lopez. Just add the in front, and that's how you'll find me. The Bianca Lopez.
Wonderful. Well, now, Danny, Taylor, Malini, Morgan, and Bianca, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Thank you for sharing your work and your artistry. This is so fantastic. I'm so excited about this festival. I look forward to attending and taking in your fabulous work. So thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Andrew. We appreciate your passion. Thank you for taking the time. We love your enthusiasm, Andrew. Thank you very much for promoting the theater. We need people such as yourself. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you for that. My guests today have been several of the incredible playwrights and directors involved with the 2024 Short Play Festival being presented by New Perspective Theater Company. The shows today joining us are part of Program B Hotspot, which is happening August 5th through the 10th at New Perspective Studio. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting new-perspectives-theater-company.ticketleap.com. We also have more information about each show as well as their related artists that will be posted in our episode description as well as in our social media post. But we are so excited to take in Program B, which has between Iron Doors, Bumble, and Best Seats in the House. These are three wonderful works. You've got some wonderful opportunities to see them. In fact, you've got six wonderful opportunities to see them. We have all this information that'll be posted in our episode description as well as in our social media posts. But head to New Perspectives Theater Company's website right now. Get your tickets. Come out and support these great, great shows. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote and do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register to vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez.
Reminding you to
turn off your cell phones.
Unwrap your candy.
And keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.